You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Abuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there.
Hello, welcome back for our second last session of the day. We're almost at the 6 hour mark here in Asia Pacific region. I'm going to get straight into it. We're going to be talking about putting the agile into governance, not the governance into agile. And the reason we've decided to share this topic is it is a topic of contention, and it is something that is discussed and spoken about a lot. I may not get time to do questions for this session, but I'm very happy for anyone to reach out to me on LinkedIn after the session or in future days, and I'm more than happy to talk further about it. So let's get straight into it. Very, very, very simply, many organizations are putting the governance into agile instead of the agile into governance. And let me explain. When we think about that as a concept, what I'm referring to is that a lot of organizations are trying to put rigidity and rigid governance into their agile-based environment. So regardless of the agile-based methodologies they're using, they're moving to new ways of working, and they're really trying to suppress the trying to put the traditional governance approaches into that agile environment. And that is going to cause some problems. And the reason for that is because when we think about it, governance fundamentally is about doing the right things and doing things right. And as a good example, when we go traveling, if, for example, I went to Europe a few years ago, and it was the first big trip, I was going to 6 different countries. It was partially work, partially for pleasure. As someone who had a fear of flying, I had to plan well up front and minimize the risks associated with such a big trip. Now, when I think about that travel that I was going to be doing, I had to personalize the holiday based on customs, the culture of the countries I was visiting, the regulations, the risk level, et cetera, et cetera. And if you think about the travel that you have done, can you imagine traveling without these predefined guardrails to guide you? Imagine we didn't understand what the culture or the customs or the regulations were. There'd be a lot more people on border security, that's for sure. This is why do we expect organizations around us to understand and know what the governance guardrails are if we're not communicating or articulating them well enough? And this is why governance is super important. Now, when I think about what agile governance means just generally, and often when I hear this term, people have just tapped on the word agile and they've put it onto the front of governance, and now they assume that it's something completely different. And I say to people, it's not. Governance is governance. I've worked over the last 20 years all around the world in many different companies and countries, and I can tell you that governance is governance regardless of where you go. The governance element is the what. So risk and issue management, decision-making, accountability, hierarchies, all of these things are applicable in all of these different countries and companies. What changes is how they are applied. So when we think about agile and governance, it's about complementing traditional governance methods, techniques, and ways, and it's about increasing flexibility and the responsiveness for our stakeholders and customers. Just like we have new ways of working, we should also have new ways of thinking about this governance space. Also, what we need to do, and this is something I'm spending a lot of time doing, is actually challenging what governance is and where its place in Agile is moving forward. And we need to do that because when we think about what's happening, and I can tell you through a lot of experience in the last 7 or 8 years with Agile Management Office, is agility is actually developed into some sort of dysfunction. In some of the biggest companies that have rolled out new ways of working and brought in a very well-known Agile-based methodology or created a hybrid methodology, the fundamentals around operational guardrails is disappearing. And what is actually being left is because there's been confusion about the discussion and the debate about what is governance as opposed to how we're going to adapt what we do to suit that agile environment, people are making assumptions and it's causing a lot of conflict. To give you an example, working with one of the really largest banks in our country, they just to get a decision made in this new way of working environment is so painfully hard because every department and function is operating, for the most part, when it comes to projects and programs, in a completely different way. And that's causing quite a lot of angst. It's upsetting stakeholders and it's actually affecting morale. I worked on a large program for a few months, and the dysfunction in just one example, and not the only example, is quite prominent. And that's because they're focusing on the what and not actually changing how we do governance. But what do you think is the first excuse I hear and the most common excuse I hear when it comes to Agile? People say, but we are Agile, what governance? And as I was sort of pointing out, governance is governance wherever you go. It's the application of the governance that changes. So in every company, if you're doing it right, you've got external governance, whether it's regulations or government requirements. You've got enterprise governance. Think about your operational risk, your decision-making hierarchies, your legal requirements. Project and portfolio program governance within the projects and programs, stage gates, steering committees, decision-making. And then you've got your self-governance. This is how we effectively day-to-day as responsible project leaders apply governance day-to-day. So when people say to me, we are Agile and what governance, I actually say to them, have you seen yourselves without governance? Some of the most prolific spenders on new ways of working, firsthand experience practically I've seen, has had some absolutely chaotic situations because they didn't think about the governance guardrails that are needed from the beginning. You know, why do we think we don't need governance? If you are hearing that, it's the ones that are shouting the most that you don't need governance in an agile environment. And there are some agile purists that will say that are the ones that often lack the most accountability. You know, we can self-regulate, they say, but they don't. When we think about governance slowing us down, it doesn't. It's the lack of maturity around new ways of working that's actually slowing you down. So then I remind people, what is governance exactly? And it's these three core components. And I've yet to work in an organization where I haven't said to them that governance is about structure, people, and information, and they've disagreed. Governance structure is about putting in place clearly defined accountabilities, authorizations, paths, processes, escalations. We heard it earlier today with Guy talking about sponsors. We heard Maria talking about it with AI and technology and governance. We've heard it being talked about. So what is the structure that you're going to have in your environment, regardless of what methodologies that you want to use? Then you've got the people element. So when we think about people, it's how we engage. It's the mindset. It's the structure around making sure people have the relevant knowledge. It's the quality, the methods, the gates, the processes. It's all of those things combined along with information. And the information, not only the information that you need to be able to make decisions, but also the information to help ensure that we're delivering projects and programs successfully and effectively. When we think about governance, I'm going back to that Europe example, governance provides the roadmap so that every one of us is on the same page. It helps us to navigate where we're going and the path to get there. If I said to my team, we're all going to meet in a couple of states away in Queensland, and I didn't give them any guardrails around that, someone might probably fly first class or business class to get to Queensland. Others might catch a train. Someone might cycle there and it might take them a really long time. But the parameters around how they get there, when they need to get there, and effectively how much they can spend to make that trip possible are just the little simple things as an example of the kind of guardrails that are relevant in a simple example like that. It's no different when it comes to projects and programs either. So what are the key barriers that I'm seeing in terms of this agile governance space? One of the things to think about is the challenge around co-designing and taking traditional governance and then adapting that to an agile environment. So when we think about agile, heavily agile-based methodology-driven environments, whether you're running Scrum or SAFe or any other hybrid model, they've got different ways of working. For example, they use different tools. They still need to report risks and issues. Can the tools that they have actually enable us to do that? What are the changes we need to make to ensure we can roll up the reporting up to the external governance bodies, but not restrict those teams from being able to move the way that they need to move? So the co-design and adaptation is one of the key barriers at the moment. Adoption of principles versus frameworks. So what this relates to is the confusion that just ensues in organizations who are spending so much time debating what they need to do and what governance is and what methodologies and what framework, instead of thinking about the how. So I don't want you to think about the methodology and changing your governance to suit a methodology. Think about the governance, guardrails, structure, people and information you need, and then make sure that your methodology adapts to that and aligns to that. Lack of delivery experience. This one is a big one. Training sessions, particularly when it comes to Agile, can skew too far towards the theoretical. The concepts and methodologies in this space will not stick unless people are immersed in the experience and given an opportunity to actually embed themselves in that environment and actually have an opportunity to learn, not just from bringing in an Agile coach. Agile coaches are there for delivery. They're not usually there for the governance side. We need to upskill our PMO leaders to be better at helping to provide pragmatic governance solutions. Then there's a lack of focus on PMO, and I'm glad to say that in the last 20 years, particularly in the last 10 and 5 more recently, that PMO is becoming a lot more prominent, and it's because of communities like this and events like this that really help to bring the importance of PMO. But our community as PMO leaders, we need clarity. For example, in the PMO space, I can tell you that our stakeholders still debate what the P in PMO stands for. Like, that's not relevant anymore. We have to move on from that. And it's been an emerging trend. And if we're confused as a community and we can't align, imagine the stakeholders that we deal with who are also going to be misaligned. And then you've got confusion between waterfall and agile layers. So this is around, you know, big agile transformations who implement hybrid approaches of agile waterfall. They put up a subset of agile practices, the ones that suit them or based on, you know, John Smith's past experience or whatever it might be, and they don't actually factor in anyone in governance. I remember one of the banks we worked with a few years ago rolled out an enterprise-wide portfolio project management solution that the PMOs, and there was hundreds of PMO people in this organization, were responsible for governing and making sure people were using, but they didn't involve any of them in the user training or in the design. So it had lots of flaws and they actually had to pull it out and start again. It cost them $2 million, by the way. So let me remind you, in case it's not clear, governance is a solution. Governance is not the problem. I'm a big advocate of good governance, and I think that good governance is underpinned by good culture. And good governance will mitigate your risks. It'll provide a sense of direction and it will help bring your teams together. Just aligning on governance will do wonders for your projects and your programs. Imagine there was no border security. Imagine there was no border security. Imagine what travels would bring into some of these countries, right? So let's just look at a few examples of how Agile is being applied to round out. Agile, just as an FYI, is not the same in every company. I've probably worked with about 25 companies in the last 7 years, and I can tell you that when we think about enterprise-wide Agile, Barclays Bank, for example, has rolled it out across the company. And then when we think about multi-department, a lot of the banks are applying in a particular division of their bank. Or in a utilities company, they rolled out a DevOps in a specific department within IT. And then in a retail environment, they actually started introducing Agile from the bottom up by individual Agile enthusiasts starting to introduce some Agile-based practices. So it's very different everywhere, and every company is different. You need to apply governance to suit your organization. If I can leave you with a few closing thoughts, if you think of governance as the foundation, then your processes are the glue that brings strategy, delivery and operations together. And that is the whole essence of why I started what I'd started with AMO 7.5 years ago. It's the essence that brings it all together. Ultimately, Good governance is about having the experience to inform future actions, to mitigate risks, to help you understand those interdependencies. It's about transparency. We talked about authenticity and honesty before. It's about knowing the levels of risk and being alerted to them. Define governance based on your customers' needs. Talk to them. Understand what's challenging them. And then testing and learning as well. So there you have it. There's my quick take on governance. And I hope that you have found this session insightful. If there is any questions, I would be more than happy to connect with anyone afterwards. Otherwise, I look forward to joining you in the last session of our day to close out and finalize with some key takeaways and a few surprise announcements. So I'll see you in the next session just now.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please share this with someone or rate it if you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and to stay up to date with all things Agile Ideas, go to our website www.agilemanagementoffice.com. I hope you've been able to learn, feel, or be inspired today. Until next time, what's your Agile Idea?